Thank you. Sister, keep it in the same key, and if you will, pull up that song, Standing on the Promises. Yes. So standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, so I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that can fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God, so I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior, promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing. Of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God, so I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God. One more time. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, and glory to His name, and glory to His name. Oh, glory. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, and glory to His name. And glory to His name. And there to my heart was the blood. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, glory. Thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. Oh, and there to my heart was the blood of life. Oh, and glory to His name. Glory to His name. And there to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name.
Amen. Let's go ahead and change the order again there, sister. Put it in the key of C. Let's pull up that song, Have Thine Own Way.
So have Thine own way, Lord, and have Thine own way. Thou art the so mold me and Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
Softly. We have quite a few prayer requests here that we just want to go over really quickly. And if I could, after I'm finished reading these, just have Brother Jaron come up and pray over them. We'll also have the tithes and offering taken up at that time, so if the ushers will come forward when I'm finished. We just want to remember quite a few who are not with us. We have many who are away, who are sick. Some of those, we just want to remember Brother Jason Nashdown, who's at work tonight. We want to remember Sister Angie Pritchard's brother. I have a prayer request for that. And also, we want to continue to remember Sophie Godwin. I heard she had a good report. We just want to continue to remember her as well. We want to remember Sister Crystal's brother. Or, I'm sorry, not brother. Father, who is having a surgery tomorrow. So we just want to remember that. We want to remember Lincoln, who is at home with a stomach bug of some sort, so we just want to remember him. We want to remember Sister Shirley Buchanan. She's at home, not feeling well, so just remember that need. Also, a neighbor of Sister Christy, who is having to go and have surgery on her esophagus, so just remember that. And also an unspoken prayer request from Sister Christy as well. And also just remember my dad, Brother Keith. He's at home, not feeling well from everything going on and just having some nausea and weakness tonight. So just remember him. That is all the spoken prayer requests I have. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just hold it close to your heart by the raising of your hand.
Amen. It's good to be with you this evening. Why don't we just join our hearts together in prayer over these special needs tonight? So let us bow together. Father, we stand in awe of your presence tonight, Lord. Just thanking you for your grace and mercy, Lord. Father, what a privilege it is to gather in your name, Lord. We're just looking forward to what you have in store for us tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would calm our anxious spirits and minds. And Lord, chase away the thoughts that try to crowd in and press upon us from life's busyness, Lord, and I pray that we could just have a moment, Lord, of freedom to just find your mind, Lord, to find the channel, Lord, that we could commune with you, Father. Lord, this world is just growing darker and more dim and chaotic each and every day, Lord. We look at the news and the events that surround us, Lord, and it's just chaos and destruction on all sides, and Lord, in light of the recent events with the flooding and all the different areas of Texas and North Carolina, and Lord, it's just, I pray, God, for your mercy and your grace to be extended to families of those who have lost loved ones. And God, we don't know how much longer time will go on, for no man knows the day or the hour, Lord, but we can see the flashing red lights of your soon coming, Lord. So let us have our hearts prepared, Lord, to be watching and waiting with our lamps trimmed and burning, Lord. Hearts aglowing, Lord. And fall upon us with cloven tongues of fire, Lord, as in days of old, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord. Father, I lift up before you the special needs of the assembly tonight, Lord. For the sick and afflicted, Lord, I pray that you would touch them, Lord God. You would drive away the cursed things that try to drag us down, Lord, and pull at us and claw at us, Lord. But I'm thankful that greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world, Lord. God, I pray that you would just let your healing virtue and power flow to these people, Lord. And Lord, the ones that are reaching out to you, God, I pray that you would have the answers, Lord. For those that are struggling, Lord, in their spirit, Lord, I pray that you would just break the bands of oppression, Lord, that are hindering them, Lord God. Lord, let us be free to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, with nothing holding us back, Father. Lord, let there be nothing hidden, Lord. Lord, help us to search our lives and to try our lives by your word. Your word is life, Lord. And I pray that you would just find its root in our hearts, Lord, and grow, Lord, and blossom. Father, I pray for the ones that are not able to be here tonight, knowing that they would want to be, Father. I pray that you would just allow them to receive a blessing, Lord. And those streaming the service tonight, Lord, I pray that you would just be very near to them, Lord. Lord, we're just honored to be here once again, Lord, and we just look forward to what you have in store for us in the word, Lord, and bless our praise and our worship of you, God. May it be acceptable in your sight. I pray now over the tithes and offering, Lord, that you would bless the giver, and Lord, I pray that you would bless those that have not to give, Lord, and Father, that everything collected would be used for your glory, for we give it all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As they pass by, you may have your seats. And Sister Julia has a special for us this evening.
Cords in the car, but that's fine. The song is just from my heart. It's a slightly unusual, but I'm dedicating it to my husband. My life goes on in endless song, above earth's lamentation, I hear the trumpet sounding strong, that hails new creation through all the tumult and the strife. Sounds an echo in my life. How can I keep from singing? Well, though the tempest round me roars, the Lord of truth, he liveth, and though the darkness round songs in the night he giveth. Though dark the night and long the road, I hear his music ringing, and with his power and grace bestowed, how can I keep from singing? Sings my soul with love profound, a fountain ever springing deep from this earth. How sweet the sound! How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to the love is heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? When tyrants tremble in their fear and hear their death knell ringing, would friends rejoice both far and near? How can I keep from singing? In prison cell and dungeon vile, our prayers to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing? Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Amen. Thank you for that special, sister. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll go ahead and have Brother Barry come this evening. Let's put the song on the board, Eye on the Sparrow, His Eyes on the Sparrow. Let's put it in F. I just realized I had the wrong key. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow. The shadows come, and why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow.
Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have to be able to come into Your house and to be able to sing and worship You, Lord. Bless this gathering, I pray. Bless our study. And Lord, may You just speak to hearts. And we know, Father, that Your prophet taught us that these young men would follow Him and bring this message on to the coming of the Lord. Lord, as he hit the highlights, he also knew that other men would come along and have the opportunity to be able to dig deep into the Word. And I pray tonight that you would just search our hearts, Lord, and may the Word just find its place, Lord, and just speak to us and give us the peace that passes understanding. We commit our needs to you. We commit every situation into your hands, Lord, and pray that you would have mercy and be a healer to those who need it especially. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Take your Bible, if you don't mind. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank you, musicians. That'll be just fine. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and let's take a thought there tonight, and we'll just jump right in. I'm sensitive of the time, and I'm sensitive of the fact that there's lots of lightning outside there, and it'd be really great to have our PowerPoint all the way through. Just saying. We want to remember Sister Becky tonight. She has been down in her back badly over the last several days, and she's just not very agile tonight, and I just would ask you to remember her in prayer, if you don't mind, just to that she would receive the touch that she needs tonight. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we're looking at a familiar little passage of Scripture tonight, 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But it doesn't stop there now. The next sentence says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we have one who cares for us, but we have one who attacks us. May the Lord, at his blessing, you may be seated tonight. Well, let's jump right in. We have a number of folks who are missing tonight, and we certainly do miss the folks when they're not here. And just wanted to give you a couple of quick announcements here. No church on July 30th. That's a Wednesday night. And then that Saturday, there is a church audio training seminar that Isaac LaFontaine is going to be doing here in the church. It's an all-day thing. If you're not sure whether you're welcome or not, ask Brother Jeremy. He's the guy who's paying the bill. Men's meeting September 26th to 28th. We're working on the website. We're going to open it up soon enough. You'll get a warning. You'll get 1 week, and that'll be the discounted rate if you want to sign up for that. And then we'll have to throw it open to the public. And it's a there's already lots of anxious people who are waiting for it to open up. So when we tell you that that link is available, you need to jump on it for that one particular week. And then we have a date for the fall festival. It'll be October 25th, and we look forward to doing that. We'll give you more information as we go. Every day I wake up in the morning and wonder, where in the world is Aaron Nengamaza? And I play that game every day. And he's in one part of Africa or another, and he just has just really spent a lot of time. Now, a few of these are his words. A few of the believers came to meet me today in a place called Chimijenga. And they say, thank you for all your help with the books and the Bibles. But they wanted Brother Aaron to come with them out in the country to where their church is, because they are a group who also made a bunch of bricks and are halted by the cost of roofing. This is a large church. They have a lot of activity that goes on there. It's one of those central churches where lots of people will come, and they have different meetings, different things that happen there. And so they are stuck right there. The cost of new roofing, and they have to do the framing, of course, and then the iron sheets that go on top of that, is roughly around $5,200. We send half for that, and they're able to start construction on that part. So if you would like to be a part of that, you certainly can. Just mark it in your offerings and so forth. We'd like to be able to help these folks as best we possibly can. All right. Let's look in the Word. I want to carry on from last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. And I want to zone in on a little aspect of that that we dealt with on two Wednesday nights ago. Now, Peter tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, we spent a fair bit of time talking about, when we talked about seeking first the kingdom of God, that the way up, the way higher in the economy of God is to humble ourselves and go down. And Jesus humbled himself, he condescended, and that God, raised him up at the end of his earthly ministry. And so in that process, God, who understands we are fully human, he tells us, and this is through Peter, he tells us to cast our cares, and that word literally means anxieties, our worries, our depression, all of that, cast it upon him because he cares for you. Now, it's an easy thing to say that we know that God cares for us. I mean, he died on the cross, and he condescended to do all of the things that he has done for us. But sometimes we can fall into the trap of looking back and say, well, he did that 2,000 years ago. Is he even aware of what it is that I'm going through in my life today? And the pressures and the situations that I feel today. And that's one of the challenges that every one of us have to face. And so we want to deal with that tonight. Now, let me give you a slight review, and then we'll move on here. In the message called The Principles of Divine Healing, Brother Branham says, now many has been the trials and heartaches and hardships, but tonight we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And when Christ died at the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. None of this is going to be difficult tonight, okay? A lot of it is familiar territory for us, but I want to introduce something to you. When Christ died on the cross, he was wounded for our transgression. And every Christian believer has a right to any one of those redemptive blessings that Jesus Christ died for. Every Christian minister? Nope. Every Christian deacon? Nope. It's every Christian believer. And if you fall into that category, you have a right to any of those redemptive blessings that Jesus died for. He died for our salvation. He died for our justification. He died for our healing. He died for anything that you have need of. He died for that and purchased it for you. But it's out of practice. The fact is that a lot of people don't preach that or they don't practice it. We can say it and we can hear it, but there's a difference between hearing it and doing it, right? We want to be doers of the word. Everybody say doers. People's afraid to take God at his word, but do not be afraid. God's under obligation to make it so. If God makes a promise, the promise is still in effect. If God makes a promise, and that promise is going to be successful. If God makes a promise to you, there's a power within that promise to bring itself to pass if we'll believe in it. I said there's a power in every promise, just like there's a nature in a seed that'll come forth whenever that promise is taken and put in the heart of faith and someone believes and someone trusts in that. Let me tell you, it's going to bring to pass exactly what God said. And God obligates himself to that. That's a beautiful thing. But in our natural state, and this is quite common for all of us, sometimes we feel separated and we feel far from God. Now, it isn't true, even though we can grieve him. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So even if we have grieved him and he's a little bit distant, he is still never far from us. How many know that? We were talking a little bit. We had a really excellent discussion on Sunday with our young people. I thought it was pretty good. Anyway, I hope the young people did. Did any of the young people who were there think that that was a good conversation that we had, good discussion? Let's see your hands if you thought that was a... Oh, great. Wonderful. Sean, you're good? All right. And so this is one of the things that came up because we were talking about salvation a little bit. And the fact that if you have eternal life, you can't lose it. God does not give eternal life and take it away. That's not in harmony with the definition of what eternal life is. Because eternal life is God. And the only eternal thing there is God. And if you have eternal life, you always had it. You always will have it. And you can't lose it. And so therefore, it is actually a part of God. And so yet we feel sometimes in our emotional realm, in our spirit realm, we can feel sometimes that we are separated from God or we are far from God. And that comes because of our life experiences. Sometimes you'll do something wrong, and sometimes you'll make a willful mistake. Sometimes we have, maybe not good, solid teaching on this subject. So our understanding implies that if we don't work hard enough, and if we're not dedicated enough, or if we're not holy enough, then God will distance himself from us proportionately. And that's just not true. What we need to make sure is that we hear right so that we can understand right. And then the third thing is that we have complexes. And every one of us have weaknesses within our own personality. You didn't go out and seek, but they're there. And somehow or another, you learn them, or they were handed to you, if you like. Sometimes they come because of a birth sign. Sometimes they come just because of, the environment that you were raised in, and that has a lot to do with it. And so if you were in a very negative environment where you were always told that you were a loser, and you were always told that you were a failure at this and that, you'd never amount to anything. You would go through life, in a sense, believing that that is true, and you'd actually begin to reinforce that feeling, even though it's a negative thing. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But Brother Branham says that there is a real power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the sufferer from his suffering. Amen. I'm really glad for that. There is a power that is pulling us into that dimension where we belong. When a person is born again, a power begins to pull us into a dimension where we really belong. When we're born again, there's a power that begins to restore us to the real position as sons and daughters of God. When we're born again, there's a power that brings us back to our right mind. When we're born again, there's a power that cleans up our life. When we're born again, there's a power that establishes right priorities in our life. When we're born again, there's a power that corrects us, that overrides our thoughts and our ambitions, and actually it stops us from doing wrong things. I thank God for that power. But there's also a power, as he says right here, a power of the Spirit that delivers the sufferer from his suffering. And God can do that. God can take somebody from a place of suffering into a place of deliverance and a place of relief. And I'm thankful for that. And I don't care what happens in the world. I don't care how bad the diseases are. I don't care what overcomes this world. There is a power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the sufferer from the suffering, because I believe the Creator is stronger than the creation. Yes. And so therefore we have to give into that power, and we have to believe in that power. And I do not see how the clergy can say and preach the gospel without including divine healing in the atonement. That's one of the things that delivers the sufferer from his suffering, because that is a promise of God. And why people don't preach it, Brother Bram says, I don't know. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare. Now, let's be honest and say this and acknowledge the fact that a lot of our struggles really happen in that natural and mental realm. Right? In that emotional realm. That's where we have most of our problems, right? That's where we sense where we wrestle things out. In the soul realm, it's really kind of black and white. It's one or the other. We're saved or we're not. But it's in that emotional realm. That's where we get confused. That's where we get downcast. That's where we get troubled. That's where we have all the debate that goes on in our mind. Because when you think about your body was born neutral. Right? Your body doesn't have a whole lot of feelings. It goes through things, but it was born in essentially in a neutral way. But there are influences that happen to us from birth that begin to shape how we feel and how we think about things. And we have senses of the spirit. We have emotion. We have all the senses of the spirit that work on us. Imagination, conscience, reason, affection, and so forth. We have all of that. I want to focus this evening for a little bit on the subject of imagination. Now, imagination can be a really wonderful thing, because all of our inventions today that we have came from somebody sitting there imagining, I wonder what it would be like to go to the moon. Or I wonder what it would be like to have a phone without a cord. I'd like to get my hands on that guy. Or imagine what it would be like to have a connection for a microphone so that I could preach in church and not have a wire that connects me. I'm saddled with a wire. I'm tethered with a wire in order to preach here. And that's how normal. That's how we had it for years and years and years. But now I have a wireless system, so I can even come to your place, right? And so somebody sat down and thought about that. Well, if we can do this, why can't we do this? And imagination helps us. I mean, you think about the medical realm. You know, I was thinking about Sister Carrie Whitlock's father. And he had a valve replacement done years ago. He had a poor heart, had a valve replacement years ago. And just recently, we were praying for him to have heart surgery. Remember, we'd mentioned his name several times. Very serious. The doctors didn't know how it was going to go. Well, what they actually did was they went in, opened up his heart, and went inside that valve that was faulty and put a smaller valve inside the pocket of that valve, inside the opening of the valve, put it in there, hooked up everything to that smaller valve, and stood back and waited to see the outcome. Doing fine. Absolutely doing fine. I mean, he's as right as rain. And he's recovered well. And I mean, it's just amazing how he's recovered from that surgery. And I mean, that was a life-threatening surgery that he was going to be involved in. And they didn't really know how successful that could possibly be. But it worked. Somebody sat there and said, imagine now if we took a littler valve and put it inside that bad valve and plug it all in and see how it went. Imagine Brother Dr. Beauvais up in Michigan. I told you the story of how he thought about the hypoplastic left heart syndrome, where he figured out how to rebuild the side of a heart that was not formed in childbirth, right? And Wells, having now passed his first birthday, who's with us tonight, you know, he's a recipient of that. But somebody had to sit down and imagine now, if somebody's born with half a heart, how can we build the other half and have him successfully accomplish things in life? Imagination's a powerful thing, right? I mean, it really is a wonderful thing. And you think about it, Paul is telling us right here, as we look at the scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The problem is that imaginations has another side. It has another part, right? And the part that imagines things contrary to God. So Satan probably, in the very beginning, he said, wow, what if I was equal with God? And what if I got Eve to believe me? And what if I was able to establish my own seed line in the earth? You know, what would happen about that? Imagination has another side of it, right? It can be used for an evil thing. The imaginations really have quite a hold over people, because there are people who think very negative things. They imagine very negative things about themselves and imagine how people think about them. They imagine how, man, I wonder how the church feels about me, right? I mean, if I let my imagination run wild and there's lots of examples where, people will say, well, Brother Barry didn't shake my hand after church. He walked right by and he didn't shake my hand. Now, most people will say to me, at least they acknowledge the fact that when I saw you at church, it looked like you were a man on a mission. I need to have a shirt that says that. I need to have a t-shirt or something that says that, or something on my briefcase or something, a man on a mission. Because that's kind of the way that I look. And very often, I do come out in the back and I'm looking for somebody, or I'm trying to arrange something, or I need to talk to somebody, and I can look like I'm a man on a mission. But that doesn't mean that I want to shake your hand. But if you're a person who has you're an overthinker. Now, I know we don't have any overthinkers here, but you probably know someone who's an overthinker. Does anybody here know anyone who's an overthinker? Yeah. And I know. And you can work something over and over and over again. We can really overthink something. And it'll actually go beyond just your thinking. It'll turn into actions, and it will even turn into emotions. And something can become a reality even in your life, even if it's just imagined. Now, let me give you some examples here. Now, Brother Branham says in 1963, now this is Brother Branham, all right? So don't feel bad if you maybe have a complex, or you overthink things, or you're nervous about things. I don't want you to feel bad about that, because that's part of the human experience. Some people have a little more of that than others. It's what you got in the human grab bag. Now, one of my main things, Brother Bram said, that always hurt me through my life has been a nervous condition. Now, number one, stop. Spiritual people are generally very nervous. Spiritual people generally tend to drop things a lot. Brother Branham was also an Aries male. And he had a nervousness about him, and he had a complex about how other people felt about him. I'm not saying anything bad about him, I'm only repeating things that he said. Well, let's look. He said, I've had a nervous condition, and that when I get so worn, then I get real weary, kind of feel like nobody cares for you. Is that true? Is that true? Do you think Brother Branham, actually thought that nobody cared for him? Yes. I think he actually thought that. But was it true that nobody cared for him? No. What did he need? He needed people to come and say, Brother Branham, we love you. Appreciate you. Brother Branham, is there anything we can do for you? Right? That's what he would need, to have people come and correct that feeling that he had. I remember one time counseling my doctor in an indirect way. And I said, you know, the problem is that me and you have something very similar in our jobs. And that is, most time people will come to you only when something's wrong. Only when they need help. And I said, you need times when you can step back. Here I am telling my doctor that. But I said, there are times when you need to step back and realize that God's called you for that purpose. He's given you the ability to be able to handle that. But I said, in reality, we also need one another. And you need somebody who understands you. I had a minister call me up today and talk to me, and he said, I can't talk to anybody else about what I'm feeling right now except you. He said, because number one, I know you're not going to tell anybody. But let me tell you what he said. No, I won't do that. Turn off the internet here, Jeremy. No, I... But he said, you have it too, and I just happen to have a real overdose of it, you know, and it gets real bad sometimes. It's tension. That's what does it. This morning, Brother Bram said, I preached at length and way over my time. This is 1963 now. He said, I preached way over my time, tired and worn, and there could be two things. He's talking about Brother Way, Edmund Way, who dropped dead in the service. He said, either he got tired, when I spoke, I have a complex, not just to mess my brother up, as we'd say, but I was making my confession of having a complex. So this is where Brother Bram talks about the scripture where Eutychus fell out of the window because Paul preached until midnight. Remember that? Sound asleep in the second story, fell down, dead on the ground. And I was making my confession of having a complex. And I guess if I'd asked tonight in this, I'm glad we don't have a second floor. And I guess if I'd asked tonight in this audience of people, how many in here knows you have a complex, practically every hand would go up. And then it might have been this, that I've tried to think of it this afternoon, that had I stood there and with all my heart told you exactly the truth and told you of my complex and make my open confession and ask you to pray that my inside being, watch, that my inside being would be changed towards the people that I could do as the Lord did. Now, this is not his soul because you either have eternal life or you don't, right? That's the soul realm. But in this other realm outside of the flesh here, that's inner man, it is that which he says, I've had real feelings about the people, losing the feeling for the people. And so many people had rejected him, and so many people had heard him and then continued to live the way they did. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because that's what he preached. And then they go right on living in a worldly way. And there's people who could see the truth of the Trinity but wouldn't change because their organization would take away their pension. And all the other things that Brother Branham knew and that he listened to and that he had. Someone told us one time he was in a restaurant and he was with a couple of brothers at a table and he kept looking at this couple, just kept staring at this couple and listening and watching this couple good ways away, but he was listening to him. Finally, somebody said, Brother Branham, is there something wrong? And he said, yes. He said, that man is trying to get that woman to commit adultery with him. And just being sitting in the presence of people, you know, to know what was in their heart, and then to be able to preach in front of thousands and thousands like that, and know what was in their heart, and he came to the place where it just began to get to him, and he had this complex where he lost the feeling for the people, and it's when he wanted to go and be a trapper up in the mountains out there. And he's saying, I'm asking for the people to pray for me. He said, because I want my inside being to be right, because that's where the battle is, right? Are you with me? That's where the battle is. It's right there in that inside man. Follow me now. He says, we find out these well-trained ministers. And you know, when I stand in front of men like this, who are really trained and smart men to the ministry and to the gospel and to the Bible, and me stand here knowing with a grammar school education, I have a complex, truly. That's how I feel at a family reunion. All right, let's go on. In the indictment, Brother Branham said, now here recently, I was just going to quit preaching. Hey, this is Brother Branham now. He says, here recently, I was going to quit preaching. Would you want Brother Branham to quit preaching? This is only 1963. Surely we wouldn't want him to quit preaching. He felt the people wouldn't hear me. They just kept on doing the same thing. And I got discouraged and I built a complex. Oh, God. It would have been really great if God had allowed Brother Branham to look down to 2025 in Hickory, North Carolina, and see us here, you know, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and still quoting the message of the hour, and still appreciating very much what he had to say. I think that would have been, you know, I mean, Brother Branham couldn't see past 1977, right, because of the darkness. But I wonder if God had just lifted the veil and allowed him to see all the way down here, you know, books going all over the world, and, you know, missionaries out there, and all the other things that are being done here, because we love the message and we believe the message, and we hold that God sent a prophet, and we believe that that was the fulfillment of Malachi 4, and now the message is still going out all over the world and being translated and being, you know, printed and distributed everywhere. I think it's a wonder. I think it would have been wonderfully encouraging to him in his humanness if he could have seen that on this side. But he kept going anyway because he kept going by faith. In the same way that I believe a lot of things are happening in our realm that we cannot see, but by faith we keep going because we know that's the promise for the end times. And it's fairly easy at the moment here until it's not so easy anymore. But you still got to hold on to your faith. Again, Brother Bam says, I'm so happy to be here. I think that God wants his children to be happy. And I believe we can run it to extremes and just get insincere about it. But I believe that God wants these people real happy and sociable. Friendly from our hearts. And you know what? I think, this is just me, but I think you should be friendly within your family first. Because God put you in that family for a reason. And you ought to work out some of your differences and come down off your high horse and be friendly to one another. Work stuff out, because you're going to need one another before this is all over. And the second thing I think you should be is friendly within your own church. Because God called you here. And I'll tell you what, it's an easy thing for you to say, well, huh, nobody likes my point of view here, so I'm going to make friends with all the other churches in town. And I'm going to make relationships with all these other people out here. And we happen to have a town where there's at least 4,000 or 5,000 churches in our neighborhood within 30 miles, right? And so it's kind of easy to say, I'll be friends with everybody out there. And we actually turn our back on people who need. Oh, all right, I'll go on. But I believe that God wants his people to be happy and sociable and friendly from our hearts, loving each other as God for Christ's sake loved us. And I think that's why we ought to be happy Christians. I think that'll do you good. The changeable, unchangeable God. He says, and we notice people change. It's got so that people today are not friendly like they used to be. Brother Branham says that 2 days after he says this. And he says, you know what? People change. And it's got so people today are not friendly like they used to be, talking about how when he grew up. And I don't know whether you notice it out here or not, but we sure notice it back in the South and the East, and people are changing year by year, and it's too much. They're in too much of a hurry. I don't know whether I told you this or not, but forgive me if I did. And if I did, just think about something nice until I get back to you. But Sister Becky had a crack in their Buick, and we had to get the thing replaced, the windshield replaced. It spread really fast. It was a horizontal crack. And so the guy came into our driveway and was doing it, you know, safe light repair, and he did the thing right in our driveway, which was great. So I said to him, hey, before you leave, I got a question for you. And I brought him over to my pickup truck, and I said, tell me what this is. And this is on my windshield. Did I tell you this? And I said, look at the windshield here. And there were scrape marks on it Now, I'm often around where trees are and things like that, and it's not unusual for me to have a branches, you know, that go along the side of your truck. That happens to me a lot, you know. I don't like that, but it happens a lot. And when you look at the scratches, they're all in a row. I could do it again if you... But they're usually in a row. But these scratches were on my windshield, on one side of the windshield, and they were random. And I asked Brother David, and he generally knows all those things, and I said, what do you think has caused that? He had no idea. We did everything we could to try to figure out what happened. So I asked the Safe Light guy, I said, can you come over and take a look at that? He said, oh, he said, we see that all the time. I said, what is it? He said, somebody did that to your windshield. He said, it's either an engagement ring or a nail or something pointy like that, and they did your windshield like this, and they scratched it up. And he said, you may have taken somebody's parking spot, or you may have done something where somebody felt like you cut them off in traffic and followed you, and when you stopped, they did that to your windshield. He said, 99% of the time, that's what happens, is people are in a hurry, and people take it out on somebody's vehicle and do it like that. He said, there's nothing you can do with that except repair it, you know, replace the windshield. You're not going to be able to fix that. He said, that scrape right into the glass. And he said, that ruins that. And he said, you'll have to get that repaired. So I said, Safe Light repair? Yeah, no, I didn't really. But that's what Brother Bram's talking about. People are changing year by year. But notice the year, it's 1962. So now we're farther up the road where there's less patience and there's less love and there's less tolerance, right? We all feel that. I mean, in our normal life, just having enough hours to get through the day and all the rest of it, it's a struggle. Now, I want you to watch this quote here. Brother Branham said, I never found this until I began this, on this subject. And he said, now, since he has restored man back to this place of redemption, this place of salvation, man in the fall lost his consciousness of what Father put him here to do. He lost his original design. Why are you here? You're here to live for the glory of God. You're here to fulfill God's purpose. And he said, men have lost that because of the fall. So in other words, all the plumbing in our brain, all of the stuff that goes on in your brain. Now remember, now this is the realm we're talking about. Not so much the body, not so much the soul, but we're talking about this mental or emotional realm. Your spirit, all of that plumbing in our brain, the outlets and the faith has been clogged up with stuff. Business affairs, home life, domestic things, making money, making a career, getting ahead, finding a wife, all these different things. It's all become so clogged up until God can't operate through those channels that he made man for. It seems to me that in every sermon I come back to the principles of Matthew 6:33, where we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. But people pursue, they run after things that they don't need to run after because God's aware that you have need of it, and he's going to supply those things in time if you let him. He's a supplier. He's Jehovah Jireh, right? He's going to do that. He's made that promise to us. But we get so caught up, and I do too. I mean, it's kind of a natural way, but the plumbing in your brain gets all clogged up with all this stuff that goes on. If I could take a portion of your brain and magnify it tonight, it would kind of look like this. It would be a mishmash of neurons that are in there. And all those little planets floating around in the sky are neurons. And they are the little elements that are in your brain that that know things, right? They have information there. And that's everything you've ever done, everything you've ever seen is captured and stored in those neurons. The little lines there, not the green ones, but the little lines there, are all of the nerves that connect these neurons. So think about this. If you hear the doorbell go off at a particular time, you say, wow, I wonder who that is. And we always say that because you can't see who's at the door. But you go to the door, and there's a long-lost relative that's there. All of a sudden, you haven't seen or communicated with that relative for a long time. You look at the face, and the face, you know, is picked up by your eyes, and, you know, you start to make connections. And that's an old aunt that you had back in your childhood. and moved to Canada, and you hadn't seen her for years and years and years, and now she shows up on the doorstep. And all of a sudden, all these connections are made. Oh, yeah, and my childhood. And yeah, she lived next door and did this. You know, she used to make really good bread and rolls. Yeah, I remember that. And you're starting to remember all these things. What's happening is information is going all between these lines, connecting all the dots, if you like. Now, if we simplify it a little bit, it tends to look like this, that this is a central part of the neuron here, and it has all these nerves and so forth that run out from there. Now, I'm not a medical person. I'm not trying to pretend to be one. But these nerve endings, they end. And the ending of the nerve length, see if we can get it right here, the thing that looks like a Q-tip, is a dendrite. And this is going to matter. And the dendrites between one neuron and the next neuron are not physically connected. They're apart. There's a gap. And they call it the synapse crater, if you like. There's a gap in here. But in order to connect all the dots that have all the information about Aunt Matilda, who just knocked on your door, there is a solution, a chemical, that is generated when information flows down the line that connects these two. And the information from one neuron to another one hops onto the fluid, flows to the next dendrite, moves right on. And this process happens millions and millions of times in a very fast cycle. This would be what it was like. Over here, here's the nerve over here. It's the cell body. It's called a soma, which is over here in that circle. That's the center of the neuron there. And then it flows, information flows down. Ah, Aunt Matilda, I remember things about her. But it's not all stored in that one. There's also some over here. That's the bread and rolls one. And so information flows down through here, passes all the way out to the dendrites, and the dendrites need to connect with one another over here because they're not connected. And so there's chemistry that flows between these two so that information can flow from this all the way over down to here to get to this neuron over here and that soma, and so therefore information is passed on. So literally we say that that's connecting the dots. Now, I need you to understand something. That whenever we go through something emotional, there are processes that take place in our brain. I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to pretend to be one. But let me tell you what I know. Because Brother Branham said all the plumbing of your brain, he said it can really get clogged up with all kinds of things that happen. Sure. And there are different chemicals that are secreted there that connect those two dendrites and make information flow one from another. One is dopamine. Another one is glutamate. And another one is epinephrine. But the one that is most popular, and maybe we heard more about, is serotonin. And serotonin is a chemical that your body makes. It doesn't. It makes it out of the food that we eat. It's not naturally generated in your body. So you don't have a reserve of it in your body. You get it from taking in food, and it breaks it down into chemicals and so forth, and you come up with that that fluid that allows information to pass through. Now, the serotonin in your body is pretty important. It's pretty important. There's a reason for this. That serotonin affects your memory. It affects your digestion. It certainly affects your sleep. And it affects muscle movement. It affects your emotions. It affects sensations. It does all kinds of things. It will cause a person, it'll cause a person to have a higher elevated mood and be really happy about something. Like if Aunt Matilda is a really good cook and you can, when you open up the door and you smell, she brought bread and rolls and the smell of those rolls rolls in there and you smell, there's all kinds of other parts of your brain that are firing off and you begin to say, oh, come on in, Aunt Matilda. But let's say Aunt Matilda was married to Uncle Rex and Uncle Rex was a tyrant. And Uncle Rex was the kind of guy that, you know, did physical harm whenever he could to someone in your family. You'd have a different reaction about Aunt Matilda. You'd be asking the question, even subconsciously, is Rex around? Because if he is, this is not going to be a good meeting. We all have memories like that. And whenever we have situations like that, you're going to either embrace Aunt Matilda, especially if she has the roles, or you're going to draw back because Rex might be there. Uncle Rex might be there. So in other words, you're imagining something, right? It's all going on right here, but you're reacting to that physically. And there are things that happen to you, like you may say, well, Brother Barry never shakes my hand. He passed by, and he always seems so busy, and he never shakes my hand. I see him shaking other people's hands, and he doesn't shake my hand. And so next time I come to church and I go by you and you know what you're doing? You're physically acting out something that is completely here. It's not true. It's not true at all. But yet your imagination is strong enough to cause your body to do things that are not even true at all. That's how powerful it is. Just like Brother Branham, I mean, Satan was strong enough using imagination in the wrong way to make a prophet feel like nobody loved him. And Brother Branham's in the slumps and he says himself, I think I'll quit preaching. I think I'll just stop and I'll quit preaching altogether. I mean, Satan's powerful enough to use those elements to cause a prophet even to look at that and to think about quitting preaching. Now listen to what Brother Branham says here. You just imagine someone hates you once. And they don't hate you, but you imagine they do. And you just keep thinking, well, they don't like me. And the first thing you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing to you. It's all going on in the mind, right? And after a while, it becomes so a reality to you till you'll actually believe that person doesn't like you. Hey, this is Brother Branham, right? We okay? And you might bawl them out, for instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor, when that person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. But it's because that you just imagine it so till it becomes a reality to you. So now a person here has got all kinds of negative emotions going on. You know what happens when that kind of stuff goes on? When this kind of thinking goes on, and I know now this is none of you, but you may know somebody who might need this. But when this kind of negative thinking goes on, serotonin gets depleted. So therefore, you don't feel good about life. You don't feel good about things. You don't have a good outlook. As a matter of fact, you can be sitting there as a wife home during the day and thinking about your husband and what he may have done and what you think he may have done or how he may have ignored you in a certain situation here. And all day long, you're stewing and saying, as soon as he comes in, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. As soon as he comes in, I'm going to take a strip off him and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Poor guy hasn't done a thing. But it'll cause a person to feel negative about themselves. It'll cause a person to lose their true joy. It'll cause a person it'll cause fear. If it goes on long enough, and a person who doesn't have the Holy Ghost, and they study this in society, people will go on and they'll use what they call short burst serotonin stimulators, so that they'll take a drug or some substance that will cause serotonin to spike real fast. And that's why people get high on things, right? But your body adapts to that, so if you're going to do it again, you've got to take more of it to get the same feeling. But they live in and actually killing themselves in trying to get back to that feeling again of excitement and euphoria that they had the last time they took it. So instead of buying one pill, they got to buy two. And instead of buying two, they got to buy three. And then they got to buy four. And it becomes an endless cycle until they actually kill themselves by doing that. And it's because they want to have the feeling that normal serotonin will give them. It'll cause fear. It'll decrease your cognitive function. In other words, you begin to make bad choices. It'll turn people into addicts. It'll cause people to have a spirit of depression. And it'll also cause people to be suicidal. It's amazing how powerful it actually is. And a lot of it will happen because you're believing something that is an inferior reality. I'm a loser. Well, you know what? You're not a loser, because if you're a child of God and born again, I mean, God thought enough of you to come and to this earth and die on the cross on your behalf. And pay the price for your complete redemption. And we buy into, in a sense, we lean into a lie that's told about us that isn't true at all. And we begin to dwell on that, there's something happens in your mind. Brother Bram said our channels get all the plumbing in our brain gets all clogged up with different ideas. It doesn't mean that a person who goes through has anxiety or depression or something like that is a bad person, not at all. We all experience those things. I've read just several quotes and I skipped over a bunch where Brother Branham says, I go through that. He said, if I asked for a show of hands, a lot of you would have gone through the same thing because it is a part of the life that we live in the circumstances that we face here. And so people will look for releases to that. They will look for relief from that feeling that, well, you know, I'm no good. Nobody loves me and I'll never be a good mother and I'll never find myself a wife and I'll never do this. And we can begin to be thinking about that. And I remember when I was a young fellow and single, I had my story, and I remember I met a girl and I wondered, you know, hey Lord, you know, what about this? And had a dream. Remember I had a dream, had to leave the girl, and I thought to myself, I'm just gonna be a hermit. I'm just gonna be a wood chopper. Because we split a lot of firewood in our day. And I thought I'd be just a professional wood chopper. And I'll just go live in the country and chop down birch trees and split it up and make firewood for people. That's what I'd do. And I thought, for sure, that's what I'd do. I believed the message, take my Bible, go off in the woods. That's really the way I felt. And I had myself convinced that that's what I needed to do. And I was actually convincing myself right out of the will of God. Do you believe you can do that? Yes, sir. Here's a Bible example, Numbers chapter 13. These are the spies that came over. But the men that went up with him said, we may not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying to Joshua, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were we in their sight. Do you see what he's saying? Nobody from the other side came over and said, ha, you bunch of grasshoppers. Nobody had to say that because they were believing that's how they looked at us. And in reality, we know from the Bible history, that's not true. They feared Israel coming over. They feared them because of the exploits that had gone before the children of Israel. They knew they served an all-powerful God. They knew they served a God who opened up the Red Sea and did all the other things, fed them every day with manna and had a cloud and a pillar of fire. They heard all those stories. They heard the stories of Rahab and all of that. And they knew all of these ways that God could destroy invading armies against Israel. They knew that. They were not calling them grasshoppers. They were just probably observing them say, hey, what are those guys? I hope they get out of here. You know, go on, get out of the country here. But it doesn't say anywhere that they made fun of those guys or called them grasshoppers. But because they were big in size, they came back to Joshua and said, hey, you know what? They must be thinking we're grasshoppers because they're really big and we're really small. And they had them themselves convinced that we're not able to take the land. They had themselves convinced we are already losers before we lift a sword against those people over there. Are you following me? Let me tell you, you don't need to pursue a defeated Christian. A defeated Christian is defeated already. And when they begin to think that way, let me tell you, leave them alone. They're going to destroy themselves. But what they didn't realize, Joshua and Caleb came along and said, hey, we're more than able because this is not our vision. It's not Joshua's vision. It's not Moses' vision. This is God's vision that he made to Abraham and promised that we were going to take the land. And we're more than able to go and take it. Amen. Not because of the circumstances, but because of the promise. Amen. It's truth that sets people free. It's truth that sets people free. So what would be a remedy then if you're thinking wrong things about yourself and you suffer with some sort of complex? What would be the remedy? What would be the solution for that? And let me introduce one to you that you've read a bazillion times, but it's worth reading again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what with them? Do what with these things? Do what with them? Write them out and put them in your fridge? No, it's not what he says. Think on this. You're thinking on that. and look at what it's costing you. Think on this. Think on the things that are true. First thing, think on the things that are true. Isn't it true that you're forgiven of your sins? Isn't it true that you're justified as though you never sinned in the first place? Come on, you folks that are under the blood of Jesus Christ. What is true is that your sins are gone. They're gone as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. And God cannot resurrect them again. They're gone. They'll never be raised up again. They are finished. They are completely kaput. They are under the blood, and God cannot even see them. And when God looks at you, He doesn't even look at you as a sinner. He looks at you as somebody that's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is true. What's rolling between your two ears is not exactly always true, but what is true is what God did and what God said. And it's one thing for God to say it, but it's another thing to see that God actually did what He said, and we can absolutely know for a fact that your forgiveness is true. Amen. And if you've got forgiveness, what do you have then? Come on. If you've got forgiveness with God, what do you have then? You have fellowship. You have fellowship one with another. What else do you have? You have communion with God. You have protection. Isn't that right? You have a protection. Let me tell you, it's like carrying a great big supernatural umbrella. And when you have an umbrella, it does not scare away the storm, but it protects you in the storm. Come on, saints of God, there's all kinds of troubles in this world, but God handed us an umbrella and said, use this, it'll protect you as you navigate through life here. And what is true is that He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. What is true is that He's still a healer. What is true is that He's a deliverer. What is true is that He's still a savior. What is true is that when He passes over, He sees the token and He'll spare the people who are living under it. Amen. What is true is not what you're always thinking about yourself. What is true is what He said. And if you want to know who cares, I'll tell you what, He cares. Amen. And because of what I said applies to all of us, we should care one for another. And when we hear that somebody's under the weather or somebody's depressed or somebody's down and out, we ought to be like a beaver to the sound of running water and go to that person and say, hey, appreciate you. Our church is better off because you're here. And you might be going through something, but buddy, I'm going to pray for you. And it's all right for you to call each other buddy, because that is the truth. Because we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that right? Here's the way it's positioned in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. Whatever you have need of, the Holy Spirit already knows that you have need of it. No matter what you might need, the Holy Spirit already knows that you might need that. Whatever you desire, the Holy Spirit already knows that you desire that. And He searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, He's the one that's able to make things happen according to the will of God in your life, even when you don't believe it, even when you don't have enough faith to reach for it, even when you think it's impossible. We got a Holy Spirit in us that says, hey, we are more than able. We are more than conquerors through Christ. I'm able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. That's what He's saying in the first few verses there. And in the bottom part, He's saying, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And all the other parts of that. And hey, verse 31, what should we say then to these things? What's the bottom line? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? And sandwiched between those two realities, that if that the Spirit knows the will of God and intercedes on your behalf actively, and on the bottom part, which says that if God be for us, who can be against us, then Romans 8:28 is sandwiched in the middle, which says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are thee called according to His purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Then what have we got to be afraid of? Who cares? God cares. And He gave us a very plain, straightforward word that we can rely upon. He does not take away the storms out of our life, but He gives us the protection we need to carry on through it. He does not take away all the hardships and all the jealousies and all the betrayal and all the accusations out of your life. I have them continually. I've served the Lord a long time, over 40 years. And yet people still criticize me, make YouTube videos about me and all kinds of things, still out there. And it goes on and on, doesn't seem to stop. Brother Ben says, I don't know what it is about you, but he says you must have a circle on the top of your head, that you're a target. And I will just say this, saints of God, that to me, there are good problems and there are bad problems. And I think when the devil chases after you,
That's a good problem. It's better than God running after you. When the devil's chasing you with a pitchfork, oh, yeah, it kind of makes it feel good. Yeah, I mean, that might seem funny, but it actually does feel good. Brother Branham said, if they'd only realize who you are, he said, you're sons and daughters of God, heirs of the kingdom. Right now, we are kings. Claim our legal rights. The message came to prepare us for the kingdom. The message also came to change your life. The message came to be you an example of what life is like in the kingdom. The message came to transform you. Come on. It came to change, transform your mind. The message came to transform your doctrine. The message came to transform your finances. The message came forward, to transform your love life. The message came forward to transform your marriage. It does all kinds of things for you in this life, but it's only preparing you the kingdom way for the kingdom that you're going to. And the emphasis or the power or the pull is from that other kingdom. It's not from down below. It's from the other kingdom. And God's actually trying to pull us there. And Brother Branham says, right now, we are sons and daughters of God, heirs of the kingdom, and we are kings. We are kings and priests. He said, claim your legal rights. Don't let Satan press anything on you. You're of God, and he's got no rights to hold you, because he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And God knows we go through those valleys, and God knows we face disappointment and depression and all kinds of forms and all kinds of different times. And then when you get down, he starts to kick you and make you feel worse because you're down, and you don't want to let anybody know because you feel like Christians ought not to be down. They ought not to be sick. And you know what? Where you don't hesitate at all to pray for somebody who's had a heart attack or got diabetes or got a broken bone, we don't hesitate to pray for them people at all. But there's a lot of people that go through suffering mentally and emotionally, and they are just as much in need of prayer as anyone else. And a lot of times all we've ever done in the message here is not here, but we've made people feel bad because they might feel bad. And I'm telling you, you don't need to feel bad because you feel bad, because if you feel bad, I'd say you're probably human. And what you need to do is come back to the promise and write it down and put it on your fridge and read it every day and say, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. Let's stand to our feet. I'd like to pray with you. Let's have our musicians come, but I'd like to pray with you. And I would like you to reach out tonight as a king and as a priest. And I'd like you to claim your legal right. And no matter what you're going through tonight, no matter what it is, I'd like you to reach out to God and say, Lord, help me to be a real positive thinker. Amen. Help me to be a real positive thinker about things. This is not mind over matter here. This is not Norman Vincent Peale or something like that. Hey, this is what the scripture says. Things that are true, things that are virtuous, things that are right. Think on these things. And what you need to be doing is saying, hey, Lord, let me fill my thoughts with good things. Let me find in your word what I won't find on Netflix. And let me fill my mind with that. And when I get to the place where, you know, I'm in that valley and I feel like I'm heavy in heart, Psalm 147 says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Every eye closed. Put your camera on me there, sister. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Every eye. Raise your hand if you feel like you'd just like to say to God, Lord, I have things here that I'd just like to give to you. I feel like I've been spoken to tonight, and I'd just like to give these things away. I'd like to lay them at the cross and walk away tonight. I'd like to have the victory. I don't want to live in fear. I want to live in love for you and love for the kingdom, love for God's people. Help me to be thinking right about things. Lord Jesus, as we bow in your presence tonight, I sense a real brokenness, Lord, in our assembly tonight, and a real expectation that, Lord, these things are true and we believe them, we embrace them. But Lord, we're asking for your help now to come full face with these things, Lord. We're not here to deny what's real in our lives. But Lord, we know that all things work together for good, and we can go through things. That when you come on the scene and deliver us and you help us, we can see that many times our thinking is just human. It's just natural. Lord, I'm praying that you'd help lift us up into a supernatural realm. And Lord, you could deal with us in such a way that we would recognize continually that we are sons and daughters of the King, and we have nothing to fear. about the future at all. I pray for deliverance for those who need it. I pray, dear God, that you'd bring healing for those who need a physical touch. And I pray, Lord, you'd pour oil on the troubled waters for those who might be disturbed or troubled in their mind or in their emotions. Lord, may we just take our imagination and cast down everything that exalts itself above the mind of God. And Lord, may we use our imagination to imagine good things. What will it be when we get over yonder? I can only imagine. Father, I just pray for the people now, for the hands that are raised, and I ask, oh God, that you would just be gracious to each and every one. And Lord, I pray that your mercies would be extended to us. I think of Brother Mike and Sister Angie, Lord, going through difficult things with their families, Lord. They have such serious situations in front of them, but you're a God who cares. And we can never say, who cares? Because we know you care. And we can come and we can cast all of our cares upon you because you do care for us. Lord, I think of little Sophie and how, Lord, you touched her. And that's what we prayed for on Sunday morning, Lord. God, she would have a good report. And we thank you, dear God, for giving her that healing touch. And Lord, we think of Sister Becky tonight and ask, oh God, that you'd be merciful and reach down and just touch her, Lord, as only you can. Because you're the healer tonight. The one, Lord, who's able to drive away the symptoms and the pain. So, Lord, we commit her. We commit every need into your hands tonight. Oh, how we feel confident, Lord, that your promises are true. May we be like Joshua and Caleb, who came back and said, we are more than able to take the land. May, Father, we see ourselves as you see us, sinless, spotless, virtuous, members of the Bride of Christ. Grant it, Lord, we pray. We love you. We invite your blessing, Lord, upon this assembly. Guide us in your will, we pray. Minister to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Completely to you. Fill me with your thoughts, make it all brand new, and change my life. Let me live in all that's true. Oh, I just want to think like. Take me and mold me. Just teach me to be still. Lead me and guide me. Just I just want to think like you. So take of my heart, Lord. Oh. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love, as we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Oh, just open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. I want to see you.
And there are good problems and there are bad problems. And that's a good one. Because when the devil's angry with you, it means you're doing something right. And I'm going to tell you that I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is present to heal you and deliver you whatever you have need of. You just got to believe it. You just got to step out in faith and claim your territory as a child of God. Joshua and Caleb didn't want to go back to the wilderness. They wanted to go on. No matter what the people thought of us, that's our land, because you promised that to Father Abraham. And I believe that we should be no less perseverant in our pursuit of the promises of God that he's made for us. Amen. And so step out in faith and believe that God has sent this message for you to prepare you for the kingdom and bring you to that place that he wants you to live in forever. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would deal with every heart. And may we not be reluctant, Lord, to claim what is ours, to claim the territory that is ours. But Lord, may your Holy Spirit just deal with every heart. Help us to have the confidence, Lord, to run out on that battlefield like David did, because he knew he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Have your way, Lord, we pray. We curse every demon spirit, every foul spirit that would come against your people. And Lord, try to bring sickness, try to bring fear, try to bring worry, try to bring all kinds of negative things into our lives. I commit the people into your hands now. And pray that our faith would rise, Lord, that there would be no resting place for the enemy in between these walls. But that, Lord, you would just allow the people to be free. I commit them into your hands now. And ask your blessing, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Let the worshipers arise. Let's try to sing that tonight. I'm going to slip out, and on this you can be dismissed, but you're welcome to sing a little and worship a little. Father, I see that you are drawing
line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come,
let it live in me.
This is my prayer, this is my plea. And for worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. Surrender in my all.
I surrender
to
the
King.
Sing that chorus again now. Let the worshipers arise.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem, oh hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. I surrender my all, I surrender to the King. So let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. Surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come, live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. And Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem, the heavens ring, this is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. I surrender in my all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. I'm surrendering my all, to the King. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone, for without you this valley so low, but never one time has he failed me. To him with my troubles I go. I could never.
Thank you.